Hallelujah. We were singing, I hear those chains falling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was back there thinking, I see the chains falling. I see the glory falling. The glory of God. Hallelujah. As the waters cover the seas, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. The glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Your name, the name of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. We speak forth your name in faith. And we call those chains broken in Jesus' name. Chains of bondage over people's lives. The chains of darkness that keeps the light of the glorious gospel from shining forth. We break the chains of the enemy. And we shall see the chains fall before our eyes. As multitudes in the valley of decision come to a decision for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, gross darkness is trying to cover the earth, but a light is arising. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of the name of Jesus going forth. Thank you, Father. We declare it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, before you're seated, tell somebody, I see the chains falling. I see them falling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody here tonight. All of you that are watching us online, praise God. I got our clock's got zapped sometime a while back, and so I got my clock here. Make sure we get out by 9 o'clock, so I got it here. Oh, you want to get out earlier now? Okay, well, I'll have to cut down my message, you know. Well, I want to praise God tonight. This month is the 40th anniversary month of my very first sermon. And so I want to give God praise and thanksgiving for the calling of God and the faithfulness of God over all these years. And also to thank God that nobody has a recording of that sermon. We give God thanks for that. Is that Cody sitting up there? Hey, Cody. Danica's mom there. Cody, you going to ORU? Got checked in and all that? Praise the Lord. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, longtime church members here, they've moved out to the West Coast again, back home there. And now Cody's here. I can't believe you're that old already. But anyway, while I'm thinking about it and thinking about school starting, Rhema Bible College, we are starting September 1st on-site. All right, registration September 2nd. So if anybody asks you, please tell them. We'll send out another email here. And I said, didn't they read the last email? Evidently, no. And so we're going to have to send them out on a regular basis, but we are starting. And we'll do the same things. We'll allow people to spread out, all that kind of good stuff. But we are starting in September. So praise the Lord. So September 1st for incoming students, September 2nd for second-year students and returning above that. And so we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Well, the music team didn't have any idea what I was preaching on tonight. And they started singing about the glory of God. And I thought, wow, isn't the Lord? What a planner we have. And what a plan he has. You know, from the very beginning, God had a plan. Before the foundation of the world, before something happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Every how many millions of years there that true science needs, it's there. All right? Every how many dinosaur bones they dig up, every how many whatever they dig up, every whatever, it's there between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. All right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then it says, and the earth was out form and void. Well, God didn't create it that way. All right? Something happened. A big bang took place. It's when God cast Satan out of heaven, stripped him of his place in the earth, and a big old bang happened. Yeah, how many of you like, well, I like watching some of those, you know, shows about how, what happened to the dinosaurs. Well, now the latest theory is all at one moment, they all just, something happened. Well, yeah. Yeah. But then God had a plan, though, for us. And he created mankind, and he clothed mankind with his own presence. very presence of God. And, you know, if there's anything that the devil hates in this world, it's God. And he hates people that are like God. And that's, and he hates people, first of all, he hates all people because all of us carry the image of God in us as far as in creation. But yet those who have the Spirit of God on the inside of them, he hates you. With a passion, he hates you. He hates you 24/7 in an extra day leap year. And he works. And so sometimes we have to be careful because sometimes we get complacent and passive. Don't realize our enemy is working. But I'm here to testify that the keeping power of God and the healing power of God is greater than any plague that can come on this earth. And I just thank God. Amen. I was going to start in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, but I'm going to back up into chapter 59. And talking about last days things, this prophet speaks by the Lord. And it says, verse 15 says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey to who? This world. You know, we live in a day where evil is called good and good's called evil. And to the world system, we have become a prey. But we ought, instead of oh, it's so horrible, we ought to be thanking God. Because God has a plan. God knew it all along. And I'm just recharged again that it's on. I heard somebody say here just recently, well, actually it was Bill Johnson, just said here recently that he said, I feel sorry for Christians that never lived during a crisis. When he said that, it was kind of like, that's right. No one, that they didn't have an opportunity to show the world that there is a God. And he loves them. And he will break the chains off of them. We have a great opportunity in front of us. Prophecy after prophecy has gone forth. Smith Wigglesworth, before he died, said, I see it. I see that day. A last great move of God, when all the moves of God will come together in one great move. He told Lester Sumrall, he said, I won't live to see it, but you and your generation will get into the edge of it. Brother Sumrall has gone home to be with the Lord. Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord, but we're still here. It's our time. And we're closer to in that day now than we ever have been. A last great move of God that's going to see, not so much just us jumping and shouting in the church, but it's going to see men and women all over the world turn towards Jesus Christ. Because darkness is covered in the face of the earth. But oh, there's a light. There's a light that's going to shine. And there is no darkness so dark that the light cannot drive it away. Amen. He goes on here to say, the Lord saw it displeased him that there was no justice. Verse 16 of chapter 59 of Isaiah. He saw that there was no man and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and from the glory, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Say his glory. His glory. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, now listen, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you. How many of you have the Spirit upon you? Let's talk about us in our day. My words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That same glory that clothed man before man committed transgression, that didn't even, it was such presence, the manifest, hear this glory is the manifest presence of God. This God that came from the inside of them out. That's on the, we're going to see it's on the inside of us now. Excuse me. It's not to be hidden. It's not this, you know, this little light of mine. No, it's the glory of God. It's a lighthouse of light. Amen. I never forget several years ago, I heard Pastor Bill preach a sermon on what kind of light are you going to be? There's all kind of lights in the world. We're called the light of the world. But what are you going to be? You're going to be dim? How many of you know you got dim lights? You can be bright. Some people are blinking lights, you know, but then there's a lighthouse light that shines and cuts through the darkness and the fog of the night and says, come to me, come to the light. Here I am. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to lead you. He said, this is light, the glory that's risen upon us. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. See, this light, yes, it blesses us. Yes, it helps us. But it is a calling to the world, to the Gentiles, those that don't know God. Come to the light. Come out of the darkness. Come to the light. Kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Hallelujah. Even your family that's in darkness is going to come to the light. This glory, this light that's upon us. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. I'm going to read down through verse 7 here. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaloth shall minister to you, and they shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. The house of his glory. Well, in the Old Testament, the glory of God, the presence of God, dwelt in the earthly Holy of Holies. There is a heavenly Holy of Holies, which the earthly was a type of. Once a year, the high priest would go in with the blood, bulls and goats, and would sprinkle that blood to make atonement for the sins of the people. But only once a year could he go in there. The presence of God was there above the wings of the cherubim, above the mercy seat. And it was kept up there, kept in store there. Go to the book of Haggai. Haggai is the third to last book of the Old Testament. You get to Zechariah, you've gone too far. Right after Zephaniah. Let's look at chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 3. Verse 3 through 9. I'm reading from the New King James Bible tonight for this part. Then I want to go to the New Living here in a little. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Everybody say glory. And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. You know, if there's a message we need for the church today, be strong. Be strong. Don't lose your courage. Be strong. The Lord is working. The Lord is working. Amen. We may not see it now, but you guys got to keep saying, I see the chains falling. I see those chains falling, glory to God. I see the chains of this pandemic falling in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Said, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Remember, he said that in Isaiah, my spirit who's upon you. My spirit remains among you. He says, do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while. Now listen to this. I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Well, who's that? That's the Lord. He's the desire. He's the one desire that men are looking for and they don't know. Mankind is looking. He said, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Now look at this. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Well, we know that something happened. Something happened when Jesus said, it is finished, and breathed his last breath. The Bible says that the curtain, that curtain that was 20 feet high and was a piece of solid fabric six inches wide,
was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that the glory of God, the presence of God, no longer dwells in a temple made with hands. And this last great temple, I know a lot of people are looking for the rebuilding of some physical temple in Jerusalem. That might happen, but we don't have to have that. We've got a temple made without hands. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that glory no longer, and the glory of this latter temple, the light and the power of this temple that we have now is greater than whatever happened before. You know, when Solomon dedicated the temple, that cloud of the glory of God came out of there, and the priest couldn't even stand to minister. When he prayed and dedicated the temple, the glory came out and all the people fell. One Bible says, on their face on the pavement. Because the glory of the Lord was in manifestation. But the glory of this latter house shall be greater than any of the glory of that presence. The presence of God in our midst today is greater than has ever been in manifestation before. We are in the days of the greater glory. Pastor Hagin at Winter Bible Seminar in 2003, in the morning sessions, his dad said, I'm not going to teach, you're going to teach. He taught God's greater glory. It's contained in this book. There's so many great things in here about it. I actually doing and thinking about this when I started to do a study, and then the Lord reminded me of this book. But I'm going to list things. He goes through here and gives 9 keys that will help us in the manifestation of this glory. These are not things that cause, or it's not something, it's not a checklist, but these are things to help us experience. And if you listen to these things, it's so true. It's what we should be doing right now. Number one, obedience to His word. Drawing near to God. Number two, consecration. Lord, Your will, not mine. I dedicate and consecrate myself to do what You want done, to serve You with all that You have, all I have. Walking in unity before God. One of the things that I think the devil has tried to get us out of unity. He's tried to divide the body of Christ. He always is working to divide us, because he knows if we ever get together, he cannot stop it. He cannot stop this mighty moving force. Like the Blood Church song says, nothing can stop the church of the living God. Giving thanks to God. Thanking God for where He's brought us. Giving praise to God. Number 6. Worshiping God. Number 7. I thought it was interesting. He spent three of these 9 on praising and worshiping God. I'm talking about vertical. Vertical worship. Where we sing us to God. We don't sing about Him. We're singing to Him. We're praising Him. Prayer. And then he said reverence. The reverence of God. So important. Get a hold of that book. Our bookstore's not open tonight, but you can get a hold of that book. You can get it online. You can get it on Kindle. And read that. That's such a powerful, powerful message. I want you to go over with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to switch over here to the New Living Translation. You know, I got all these Bibles on my bookshelf. I have to use them every once in a while. You know, you could do it. I could do it on my device, but I don't know. I still like turning to them. You know, of course, let's not divide up in camps over whether or not, you know, well, there's just something more anointed about reading it from the Bible. Well, it's the same words. It's on my device that's in the book. But I do know this. If all of the moves of God that we've seen here, you know, from the time of Jesus till now, and you think about the prominent ones that we think about, that we know about, Luther's Reformation, the just shall live by faith, Wesley's holiness, amen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was all through, but came in a major way in the early 1900s, that swept the world, Pentecostal revival, divine healing revival, charismatic move, where denominational people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecostals got mad because they didn't even think those folks were saved. Especially the Catholic folks started speaking in tongues. What in the world is this? They had a conference of the Holy Spirit there at Notre Dame University in South Bend, Indiana in the early 60s. And they're talking about the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God fell and they just all started speaking in tongues. Catholics, you know, any good, Baptists thought the Catholics were going to give birth to the Antichrist. I mean, because, you know, amen. I'm just telling you what beliefs were. Then the Jesus movement that came out of that. Then the Word and Faith movement. Then the movement of joy and the Holy Ghost. Well, if all these things are going to come back, we're going to see a day, folks. It's coming back. You're going to see people with their Bibles and notebooks in the church again. You're going to have teaching seminars. People are going to come hungry for the Word of God because every generation has to be taught. Every generation has to experience the move of God or it's lost. Every generation has to know the glory of God, lest we let it slip. You talk to people that used to, and the glory of God would come into services and fill the place with a cloud. And some people couldn't even stand to minister. Other times, didn't know what happened, just would just come in heavy like that. Many people would see it. Amen? Now, we're not looking for visions to know. We're not looking for have to have a vision, but because we know the glory of God's here. But I'm telling you, those days are not gone. It's going to come together. What? For a sign to the unbeliever. We don't need a sign. You're a believer, right? I don't need a sign. I don't need any sign from God. I believe what His Word said. But the world doesn't know that. And we're here to manifest that. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation, who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. For your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts." Now, how many of you remember Moses? Two times Moses went on the mountain of God and received commandments from God, written with the hand of God. The first bunch, he came down and Joshua said, "There's a sound of war in the camp." But no, that was it. You know, that was that whole golden calf incident. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Moses said, "Aaron, what happened?" He said, "Well, you know these people. They're stiff-necked and rebellious." And they said, "Make us gods to take us back to Egypt. We don't know what's happened to this Moses." He said, "I told him, bring me all your jewelry, all your bring it in." He said, "I put it in this, I put it over the fire, and out came a calf." I don't know how it happened. Sound like a little kid. What happened here? "I don't know." You know, "I don't know" did a lot of things. How many of you ever know that? Okay. Well, he said, "This is a greater letter than what was even carved by God on stone. We are confident of all this because of our trust, our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we're qualified to do anything on our own." How many of you know that? Our qualification comes from God. Can you just stop right now and thank God that He's qualified you? Father, thank You for qualifying us. Glory to God. He has enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Everybody say life. The old way, the laws etched in stone, led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more? Say much more. Much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God. In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. That first glory that came out of that tabernacle and as a cloud, that glory that led them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, that glory doesn't even compare. You really can't even call it glory compared to the glory that we have in this day. The glory of the indwelling Spirit of God. What is God's glory? It's His Spirit. It's the third member of the Godhead, the manifested Spirit of God in our life. He's in us, and He's upon us, and He's to shine as a light in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. Verse number 11. So if the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is this new which remains forever? This is not just a temporary glory. This is everlasting glory. Since the new way gives us confidence, we can be very bold. We're not like Moses who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, so they cannot understand the truth. This veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. You ever tried to talk sometimes to the Bible about people? It's just like, it's so simple to you, and for some reason they can't get it. That's why, listen, don't start a Bible study on the book of Revelation with your unsaved friends. You barely understand it, right? And they got a veil. They can't. You got to get them saved first. When they believe in Christ, that veil gets taken away. Because they've got, why? The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that inspired these words, is now living on the inside of them. And he's on the inside of us. He goes on here to say, verse 4, but the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, this veil covers their minds. And this veil can only be removed by believing in Christ. Verse 15. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil. They do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. See and reflect. See and reflect. See and reflect. Not just absorb, reflect. There's a difference. We are conduits of the glory. We're not reservoirs, we're conduits. In other words, it flows, it's in us, but it flows out. A river of living water flowing out. You shall be witnesses after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Amen. Said, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. We're changed from glory to glory as we behold, one translation, like in a mirror, his word. Now let's keep reading here just a little bit. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never get, what new way? A more glorious way. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't need tricks, folks. We don't need gimmicks. All we got to do is preach the glorious gospel and manifest what it says. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak forth your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Amen. Paul said, he said, I've gone all around about, I preached here with signs and wonders, and he said, I have fully preached the gospel. We haven't fully preached the gospel if there's nothing following, if there's no signs and wonders following. Everywhere we go, folks, there ought to be miracles taking place. Not just from the preacher, from everyone who's got the Spirit of God. He's talking to us, the church. Amen. He said, we don't use these tricks. Verse 3, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the God, little God of this world, when did that happen? In Genesis there. Has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Read Hebrews 1:3, says he is the glory of God, the outreign of the divine. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made, get ready, are you ready? Has made this light shine in our hearts. That same light, when God said, light be, is in us. Hallelujah. So we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing, any of you got them clar jays, I get rid of them quick, containing that great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. I'm still laughing at myself. Hang on a second. We are pressed on every side. Are you ready? Now listen. Listen, this sounds like today. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death, Paul's talking about, because we serve Jesus. It's becoming true in our day. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believe God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. This COVID thing is small. It's not going to last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things which we see now will soon be gone, but the things which cannot be seen will last forever. Now go with me quickly to the book of Colossians. Let's wrap this up. There is a great mystery. Paul said, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had the devil known, had he known that when he thought he defeated God by crucifying Jesus, and God forsaking Jesus because we were forsaken, Jesus fully bore all that for us. Forsaken by God, not because of his sin, but because of mine. And I believe the Bible teaches, I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I believe the Bible teaches that Jesus descended into hell itself and paid the price. But there came a time on the third day, on that third morning, when the price had been fully paid. And Romans 6:4 says that God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory of the Father. Raised up by that glory. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I remember I asked God, I said, well, God, what was it? Was it your glory, your Spirit? And the only answer I kept getting was yes. On the inside, I just kept saying, yes. What was it? Was it your glory or was it your Spirit? Yes. Hallelujah. That same Spirit that we corporately are the temple of and individually the temple of. There's a corporate glory and there's an individual glory that's going to be manifest in these last days. That's why it's so important that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's things that will happen when we come together corporately that will not happen when we are just by ourselves. It can, but when we come together corporately, there's a greater outflow. There's a greater manifestation. And in that greater manifestation, in that greater move of the Spirit of God, there's greater things that are done. More people are saved. More people are healed. More people are set free. More chains fall off. But Paul said, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? What did they not know? It was a mystery hidden in God. And thank God, God chose the Apostle Paul to preach that mystery. He says in verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in flesh what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God was given for me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. See, this was a mystery. The angels didn't know about this. Somewhere before the foundation of God, before the foundation of the world, there was a council in heaven between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And this mystery, we see it in Genesis chapter 1 where Elohim, the plural form name of God, said, let us make man in our image. Us, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We're not made in the image of angels. We're made in the image of Almighty God, the Godhead. That's why we are three-part beings. We're spirit beings. We have a soul. We live in this body. But God said, let us make man in our image. Let them have them. And he clothed man. God breathed into that body the breath of life. He literally put his glory inside of us, inside of man. But when man sinned, they lost that glory. They became naked. But God had a plan, and it was made before the foundation of the world. And somewhere in that planning session, the Son said, I'll carry out the plan. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And that plan was that Jesus would pay the price for our sin, and for every man who ever sinned would pay the price. But once the price was paid, and he's restored, Jesus said, Father, give me the glory that I had with you but from the beginning. He said, and the glory that you've given me, there in John 17, I now give them. We didn't have it yet, but it wasn't just a few short days later that it came to pass. What came to pass? What is that mystery that's been revealed now to his saints? Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the anointed one, God, the Spirit of God, the mighty God, he's in us. The hope and the expectation of glory. Real quick, back up at verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't let anybody talk you out of this. Don't let anybody tell you this has passed away. Don't let anybody tell you it's not for us today. Don't let anybody tell you that Christ is no longer concerned, that God's no longer concerned, that God's not moving in these days. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, and he's in us. The fullness of the Godhead is in us. I'm not God, but God's in me. You're not God, but God's in you. The fullness of the Godhead is in us. Everything we need is in him. God planned it. They planned it before the foundation, that everything we would need to live life and enjoy life and to minister in these days that we live in right now and to shine as lights in the midst of a dark and perverse generation, he put in Christ, because he knew and they knew through the plan that they were going to put Christ in us. It's all in him. The glory's in him. The manifest presence of God is in him, and he's in you. That glory's in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The glory of God is in us. Hallelujah. And we need to let that light shine in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. It doesn't matter. Let the world get dark. The darker it gets, the brighter the light's going to shine. Just don't let them go to hell, though. Snatch them. Snatch them out. Snatch them out. Take that light in there. Show them the path. Show them the way. Sometimes you have to take healing in there. Sometimes you got to take miracles in there. Sometimes you got to take bread and water in there. Whatever you got to take the light in there. Sometimes you got to take clothes in there. Sometimes you just got to take a loving phone call in there. But take the light in there. In the glory of God. Hallelujah. We have come into this kingdom for such a time as this. We are the ones whom God looked down through heaven and said, they'll be there then. I'm going to equip them to live in that time. I don't ever think I want to live in another time. This is our time. This is our time, glory to God. This is our time to manifest His glory. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we thank You and we bless You. We thank You for Your glory. Thank You for Your presence, O Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our voice up? Just pray in the Spirit. No, we won't allow that to happen. We will not allow that to happen. No, there will be unity in the body of Christ. Unity. We will be one even as He is one. One, one, one in the name of Jesus. One, one. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Just thank God this is your time. This is not our time. This is the time of the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God in the glorious before that a glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so many. Hallelujah. 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 Well, before we're dismissed, remember this. Ephesians 5:27 says Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. A glorious church. Not, listen, the rapture, the coming of the Lord, it's not an escape plan. We're going out in full power, in full glory, shining brightly. Hallelujah. We're not going to sneak out in the middle of the night. We're going out in the power, in the light. Hallelujah. But we've got work to do until that day. Hallelujah. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to know that. If you're watching us and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, we're going to pray a prayer. And as we pray this prayer, we're going to pray according to the Word of God that says, if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I'm here to tell you He's alive today. God raised Him up. And number two, if you confess Him as your Lord, you would be saved. What does that mean? You would get born again. You become a child of God, adopted into His family. Do you deserve it? Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. But God is gracious and He's merciful. And He said, you can't come to Me, so I'm going to come to you. So right now, let's pray. Just repeat this. If you all would help us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I come to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that You raised Him from the dead. He's alive today. And I thank You now as I call upon Your name. I call on the name of Jesus. I am saved. I'm born again. I'm now a child of God. And I'm going to live for You all my days. And I have eternal life with You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, you're watching us, get a hold of us at partnerservice@rhema.org. Send us an email. If you're here tonight, you can see one of our ushers. If you can find one of the ushers, you got good eyes. They're here tonight. Hey, let me say, folks, look, if you're looking for a place to get involved, ushers, all right? Fill out the application. Get started in that. We can always use some great ushers here at Rhema. We have great ushers. We can always use some more, all right? All right. Wednesday night, anything else, Brother Bill, anything else we got? Just Wednesday night. All right. Hour of Power, be here. Pastor Hagin, be here. God bless you. Have a great week.